Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that pop culture podcast talking about last week's pop culture in podcast form. As always, it's your boy, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, aka the guy listening to all kinds of new podcasts, aka I just been dipping into Viceland, aka still a fan of the Fan Bros. And once again, I am joined by the illustrious, can I use the word synonymous with goodness? Tell the people who you are.
Wow. Hi all, it is I, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, aka the Snow Queer on Tumblr, aka one of the few people on the internet who doesn't give a damn about Game of Thrones this week. A.K.A.
the hottest taker. Oh my gosh.
Aw, yeah.
Damn, Steph, you trying to start flame wars in the first, like, minute and a half of the podcast. I didn't know how widespread the A.K.A. thing was. It seems to be a thing in a lot of people of color podcasts, actually. Yo, I'm mad at the whole internet. I'm mad at everybody on the internet that's not Austin Walker from Waypoint. Because
tell me why
nobody has told me about how, like, Desus and Mero are, like, the greatest dudes. Like, these guys are hilarious. I mean, I follow the one dude Desus on Twitter just because people told me to a long time ago, but man, these guys are hilarious. They got a podcast, they got a show on Vice, they show up on other people's shows. Yeah, they had me rolling. I listened to their podcast for the first time today. They did the AKA thing for, like, way longer than you need to, and it was hilarious. I loved it. But
that's amazing.
It's people let me down. I didn't know Viceland was, like, a great place. Nah, this is unacceptable.
Now you do.
I do know now, and I feel good. I'm Dom, aka the Awoken One.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm over here listening to back episodes of Pod Save America and Pod Save the World, and just being like, listening to these guys talk in real time. In, like, February, about, like, the shit that's happening in the world in February, and, like, being like, oh my god, you sweet summer children.
Years ago.
You have no idea how bad it'll be in the future.
It's wild. We gotta, like, just act like this, not act like it's not happening, but try to enjoy life as if it's not.
Yeah.
'Cause, I mean, we could fight, we should fight, but we still gotta go to work, and there's still all kinds of things that are enjoyable that you don't want to get too bogged down. And
yep, can't, like, we can't, America can't crash and burn in any kind of nuclear conflagration in the next, like, 2 months, because I got a vacation to go on, and I just bought shit for Comic-Con to make my costume, so.
Yo, like, I mean, when we go on vacation, we're gonna probably be safe from anything that major happens anyway.
Yeah, except maybe, like, a hurricane, but I don't think we really get those at the end of October. That's, like, tail end.
I mean, like, Trump can't cause Trump a hurricane.
Wise, yeah. Trump can't cause a hurricane. He can just be very bad at responding to it.
Oh my gosh. Dog, how is it? Oh my god. Like, is it, is there's shout outs to,
we've gotten like eight kind of real, and it's,
if we have, like, any friends or fans in Texas, you know, down in Houston, like, you know, please be safe. Send them prayers. There's not much I can really do. I don't have control of FEMA, but I'm going to give you more good willing than a damn good luck. So I've just surpassed our president's ability to respond to disaster.
Yeah, and there's always the Red Cross and all kind of good charities out there that are looking to help folks. So
if you're ever so inclined or have the ability to, I recommend or suggest donating or just being there for people who might need it. That's a good thing to do. It's spread positivity. You want to talk about some nerdy stuff?
Yeah, let's do that. Also, I'm going to apologize right off the bat for the amount of background noise. Holy business. There are some times going outside my window.
You made it sound like there's, like, some kind of, like, sketchy brothel right outside your window. Holy business.
There's just, like, people going by with music playing, and, like, people going by revving their motorcycles. It's a busy night on the Eastern Parkway.
It's the last gasp of summer, really. I mean, I bought pumpkin beer this weekend.
It's been kind
of
chilly.
It's over.
I'm not complaining, because I paid a lot of money my electric bill this month to keep myself cool, but
like I said, summer's over. I bought, the pumpkin beer came out, Halloween candy's out in full force.
Yeah, Michael's is freaking teeming with, like, purple, green, and orange sparkly, and I was hard-pressed today not to just, like, drop my entire paycheck on spooky stuff.
I appreciate your commitment to your next cosplay is less clothing intensive, which is fine from like a moral standpoint. It's not so fine from a climate standpoint, because October might not be so nice to your collarbone.
Yeah, I'm hopefully putting together a Red Sonja cosplay for New York Comic Con. We'll see how that goes, but
best of luck.
Yeah. Well, the issue is less going to be, like, me wearing the costume and more me learning how to make scale mail in the next five weeks and also receiving all the things that I ordered to make the scale mail on time.
Well, that's what I'm good-lucking you to. Like, I'm not saying good luck to wearing it, because that's on you. You chose to wear a bikini costume. You got to suffer for your cosplay. I mean, you know, if I've seen Draven in the summer and Akihiko in the winter... It's bikini time in the fall. let's talk about the bad stuff before we talk about the good stuff and the gaming. I guess we're going to start with gaming news for now.
Yeah, let's do that.
So Half-Life 3, it's pretty much in the can now. You know anything about this?
Was this ever... I mean, it was something that... I know that it's something kind of like Kingdom Hearts 3 where people are like, oh, are we ever going to get Half-Life 3?
Well, the thing about Kingdom Hearts 3 is... there's always like, something of it, so you're like, we might not get like it anytime soon.
Right?
Yeah, like, there's tangible proof that, like, if they did nothing else starting now, we could have a Kingdom Hearts 3 that exists. It might not be complete, it might not be great, but it would exist. But Half-Life 3, like, I don't know if there was ever any proof. Secondhand hearing rumors about the development of it, they tried a whole bunch of different times, but just couldn't really, like, pin down what they wanted to do. So it was like a blog post that was going around. They kind of just outlined what the story would have been for it and kind of was like, we're pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think the closure now of it not going to have closure is kind of worse than the stringing along hoping there might be something.
Like, here's what would have been. Enjoy imagining playing this game.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good thing about it is the Half-Life engine is still totally usable and you're able to sell Half-Life 2 mods on Steam, ironically enough. So some fan modders are going to make the story they built. So the ironic thing is we're still going to get the end of Half-Life, made by a fan, and Valve is still going to get the money off of it. Ain't that some shit? Because they're mostly just a distributor now. They have Steam and Dota, I think, and Team Fortress 2. That's pretty much what Valve is at this point. You know, more power to them as a company, but as a entertainment creator, that's, you hate to see that happen.
Yeah.
But now that Team Fortress 2, I don't know how much more life it has. Just because it's kind of old.
Overwatch killed it.
Overwatch definitely stabbed it somewhere vital, but I don't know like if it was a good stab. Counter Strike still does numbers. Who makes Counter-Strike? Counter-Strike's not Valve. Wait. I gotta search.
Research. Live here, folks.
Yeah, Counter-Strike is Valve. Okay. Yeah, CSGO is still big. So, okay, I just had to make sure that I wasn't losing my mind, because I don't want to become a fake geek boy. I'm just a bad researcher. But yeah, Overwatch did do some damage to the Team Fortress 2... ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just chugging right along. And speaking of chugging right along, Gamescom finished last week, and I saw the live stream that Blizzard did. So they did, they were smart. They didn't open with the Overwatch news. They started with Hearthstone. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff, like a nice little... It was pretty much just a Pixar movie, like for 5 minutes. They did like a song and dance for Hearthstone. And it's like the same animation style they use for the Overwatch stuff, so it was just like extremely cartoony and lovable. And they did some stuff for Heroes of the Storm, which looked good in WoW, and actually made me say, like, oh, I have no intention of ever playing WoW, but damn if I did, I'd be super hype. And the stuff they showed for Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm made me want to get back into Heroes of the Storm and start playing Hearthstone. Which is a free-to-play game, you just buy the card packs, but So good stuff, but they showed the short for May. Damn, they time well spent making that. You saw the short, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the short. I cried. I came, I saw, I cried.
Weird, gross.
It was, whoa.
Yeah. What part made you cry?
More than one, probably. Like when freaking little Snowball plugs herself in.
That's the part that killed everybody. Because it's like, I think because we've come to terms with the fact that if you're deep in the lore of Overwatch at all, you know that May's the last person that was down there. Everyone else is dead. So it's like, I've come to terms with this tragic part. It's like, Snowball sacrificed itself for May. You're like, oh. It's so adorable, too.
I know. And, like, you know, it's interesting. I didn't realize it was only 9 years. I mean, like, obviously 9 years is a long-ass time to be frozen. But, like, for some reason, I thought it was much longer. Because, like...
They make... You would think that it was longer. Just because, like, there's a reference in the game where May and Mercy are talking. She's like, Dr. Ziggler, you, like... You haven't aged today, which is kind of like a hint to what the hell is Mercy doing. And she's like,
yeah.
No, May, you're the one who's like, hasn't aged a day. I think, yeah. Mercy's like, May, you haven't aged a day since I last saw you. She's like, Dr. Ziggler, you're the one with the secret. but it makes you think that May has been gone for like 30 years, but I guess...
Also, even in the video, when she goes under, Overwatch hasn't fallen yet. Like, she's like, oh, well, we're just, there's a storm, but Overwatch will come for us. And then she turns it back on and, like, reads all these news things. And, like, Jack Morrison didn't get that old in 9 years.
Did he?
The explosion probably helped.
So, there's a few things that happened. So, like, he and Reaper both kind of died. But I think the stuff that whatever he always mentions, like all that stuff they pumped into me. So I don't know if that's accelerating like his age. I don't know if his hair just whitened. I don't know how old soldiers
stress whitened.
Yeah, I don't know if he's. I don't know what he looks like underneath those goggles. He doesn't look that old as Grillmaster 76. So his hair, like he just might be kind of old.
Yeah, it's like 50s, 60s more than. Well, even like late 40s.
Yeah, like you could go from
just kind of craggy.
You can go from blonde to gray and. 10-15 years, I guess. But yeah, all this whatever all the stuff they did to make him the soldier he is now, I don't know when that happened, but it could just be stress. I mean, his hairline receded too, so it might be stress and dying. But it was an adorable short. There's like little Easter eggs and references in there, but it's cool to see that May is essentially a climatologist engineer adventuring badass.
Yeah, she was like both all of those things and also someone who likes to wear like goofy tank tops and comfy slippers around when she's not working. Like,
yo, okay, so this is totally off the point and not what you're supposed to do, but I want to take this detour to like question what the hell Blizzard's doing, cuz I don't like, as far as the weight of May's body type, I don't know what body type she's supposed to be, cuz they're trying to like have their cake and eat it too, I feel like.
I was gonna say, yeah, try to make her kind of chubby, but also not too chubby, and, like, still give her kind of a curvy figure, but not...
Yeah, like, in some, like, I think her original key art, she had, like, a really small, like, torso, but, like, had, like, an hourglass, and then in some of the art, she looks, like, kind of chubby, and then in the game, you can't tell, because she has, like, the parkas. And
yeah, then you like, see all the coats on.
And everyone, all the comments are just, like, thick, 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 and I'm like... These are all genders of people. Everyone just lost their mind. I thought, it's like, yeah, somebody who's like, you know, I'm tired of games objectifying women. Who's like the sexy character in Overwatch? And everyone's like, it's May. May's the sexy one. They're like, what about Widowmaker? Like, that's she just is warm. She needs to just be ventilated. May is the hot one. Like underneath all those coats. Yeah, dog. Yeah.
There's a babe under there.
But that aside, I think May's just an adorable character in general. Like, relentlessly optimistic, despite the fact that, like, most of the people she knows has died. The organization that should have helped her died. Her robot friend died until she, like, rigged up a solar panel to fix it.
Yeah, of all of those things, the robot friend was the easiest thing to fix, I think. But still, it was the saddest part. I was, like, not expecting... Like, she's so... May, in general, is just so adorable. And then, like, freaking, like, I was not prepared.
Well, she has a sense of humor too.
Yeah.
Which is like people always say that she's like the devil, because like playing against her when you're first getting used to the game, she's one of the hardest characters to play against. Just because mm-hmm. her ice will slow you, so you can't escape as well. She'll freeze you, then hit you with a headshot. Once you get like higher level, she becomes like pretty easy to deal with and has only used the stall stuff. But like when in the little snowball game, she's like, "I'm putting a rock in this one." like, guys, I'm on fire. No, not really. Like, yeah, like so. There's just like the little lines when you're playing. It's like, oh, she's like a prankster. It's kind of, I think it's, yeah. If you have like her firefighter skin, I think some of the lines change. But she's just a fun character, you know. So, yep, gotta love Mei. And also in Overwatch news, Mercy is now a DPS character due to some buffs on the PTR and some changes, which are being taken away very quickly. So
can you explain all of those acronyms?
Yeah, DPS is damage per second, which basically
that's what
means
I thought.
Yeah. So you either there's four categories and they're loose. Basically, are you somebody who like soaks up damage, supports your team, or does damage, right? And there's like hybrids, you know. There's a debate over whether Sombra should be an attacking character or support because her hacks. Symmetra can't heal her team at all, but like has other stuff. And then it's like, well, if she's support, why isn't Torbjorn support? That kind of stuff. And it's the developers like, it's just loose, don't worry about it. But DPS is generally anybody who's just does a lot of damage. So like, even though Widowmaker, Hanzo, and Junkrat are defense characters, they're DPS. Yeah, that sort of thing. But so in the PTR is the public test realm region, so it's basically
gotcha.
Where they're like, hey, here's a bunch of changes. They're not in the live game yet, but we're working on
it. See how they go.
Come test these for us, so we make sure there's not glitches and see what the community thinks. So they changed her resurrect from her ultimate to just like a standard ability she can use every 30 seconds, but it only works on one person and has a smaller range, right? So it changes the way you would use it. Because they were noticing people were saying, everyone just die together, try to die together. So the Mercy would just kind of hide. So it's like, it's not really fun for the Mercy player. And I've played as Mercy. It really sucks when you have to try to go hide. And people don't stop the Tracer or Genji from finding you. I'm like, Mercy, why'd you die with Rez? Because I was hiding and they sent a search party out to get me. So that kind of sucks with the Mercy. And it sucked to be like, okay, we're going to use Zarya's ultimate to trap everybody. Then like, D.Va's going to come in with a great self-destruct, we're gonna get a full team wipe, and they're like, yeah, we're killing this point. And then Mercy just swoops in, presses Q, and you're just like, oh, that we just lost all of our power, we're gonna lose now. So it wasn't fun to play against either. But
gotcha.
Her new ultimate, which they're like, yeah, we gotta fix this, it's called Valkyrie, lets her use all of its power, and basically she can fly around freely now. Dope.
Nice.
She becomes better at all the stuff she does, so she heals faster and damage boosts faster with her wand. The wand gets more range and it chains together. So if it hits you, like if you hit your friend, it'll chain to the next closest ally and it could theoretically chain your whole team and super heal them. Her gun does more damage and has unlimited ammo and doesn't need to be loaded. So she basically just flying around capping people. So you're seeing these weird things where you'd use, normally you would nano boost your Ana or your soldier. And she's like, nope, gonna boost Mercy. And Mercy's flying around shooting everybody and she's moving fast, no one can hit her. And they're like, okay, Blizzard, this is cute, but you gotta fix this yesterday. And they're like, yeah, that's why we're testing it. And then D.Va got some missiles, and her defense thing is smaller. It's a whole thing, but it's good to see them trying to like make characters more fun to play with and more engaging. So, but yeah, Mercy, the Angel of Death, coming to a computer near you. But they're nice. Rolling it back, and the Summer Games is over as of today, which is Monday. We're recording on Monday.
RP.
Summer Games is over. Season 5 is over. Season 6 starts like in 3 days or something. So short season, but you know, this isn't an Overwatch podcast. You can go search YouTubers, just search Season 6 changes. Don't want to bore you guys with that. It's like technical under the hood stuff that matters to the fans like me.
Matters to you. I won't go so far as to lie and say it matters to me, but
it doesn't matter to most people. And it hardly matters to the people that it does matter to. Anyway. So I sent you a YouTube link, actually, Steph. About something else.
You did send me a YouTube link. I literally could not believe that this was real, despite like great proof to the contrary. Even having finished watching it. So Dom sent me this link to to Final Fantasy 15, a commercial, an ad, a trailer, for Final Fantasy 15 DLC, Assassin's Festival.
Yep.
In which
celebrating assassins.
You, Noctis, aka Final Fantasy Sasuke, can be an assassin, like, from Assassin's Creed. Like, you're in, like, a town where they're having an Assassin's Festival, and it's literally the, like, it's some kind of Ubisoft crossover thing. Yes. It's Ubisoft, right?
Mm-hmm. Ubisoft is Square Enix.
It was this most surreal video I have ever watched in the last 24 hours, and I went and watched Look What You Made Me Do right after that, so saying something.
And we'll get back to that.
Put a pin in that one.
Yeah. I just saw Jim Sterling's video on it, because he does a series called Oh My God Hype, where he just gets hype about trailers for, like, over the top, and he couldn't even muster it, because he's like, what the hell is this?
And I literally just wrote "what the fuck" in our show notes. Like,
I don't know why. Like, this is a cynical cash grab. It must be, but like, whose idea was this? I mean, it looks pretty, but like,
yeah, it looks very nice. But like, that was what I was like looking at this whole time, being like, some very talented programmer bullshitted this. This is like fucking making a dragon in Skyrim look like Fluttershy. Like, this is some kind of very clever mod. And then, but it was on the Final Fantasy, like, official channel. And when I got to the end, it was like, yeah, like, Final Fantasy free DLC coming soon. It's like, what is happening?
And, like, so it seems to have, like, the interface of both games. And, like, I'm just playing this back again. And, like, I don't know what this, like, what the plot is. Like, or not the plot, they're at the festival. It's...
Mm-hmm.
I can't... You're throwing people, like, in hay. It's just funny to see that someone decided to do this, and honestly, though, this is probably a cynical cash grab, but holy shit, like, if I didn't wish this kind of thing all the time. Also, what the hell's up with Ubisoft just, like, getting all these weird crossovers? Like... They're doing that Mario Rabbids thing that comes out, like, a couple days ago when you did this. Oh,
that's them too?
Yeah, Rabbids is, like, the Rayman series. And they branched off from Rayman to do their own thing. But yeah, Ubisoft has made the Mario Rabbids game. So I have no idea what's going on, but I love crossovers. Like, the Sonic and Mario at the Olympics, Mega Man and Sonic comic book thing. Like, give me Super Smash Bros., give me everything. Marvel vs. Capcom. It's great. DC versus Mortal Kombat. That was stupid. Still loved it. Yeah. That's that. I don't have anything else to say about that, but it's just surreal and I love it.
That's something else. Yeah, I just am so boggled.
The last thing I just wanted to just mention, another episode of Rick and Morty. It was a good one. I like this one. Yeah, the premise, I don't want to spoil it, but the premise basically is, I mean, there's been clips floating around, Rick and Morty go on an adventure, like, this is the cold open, mm-hmm. that scars them, they're like, this is bad, we need a vacation, dude, which, okay, nice premise, and they go on their little spa vacation and have a good time, and then things go awry, I guess you kind of spoil a little bit of the twist that happens in it. This stuff happens pretty quickly, but it is interesting, and I don't remember what the B plot was. I don't even know if there was much of a B plot. I just think the way that the stories go, it's just a straight up A. It splits. There's like an A and a B plot, then they merge, and then there's like an A and a C plot sort of thing. It's fun, but the show has been making me uncomfortable recently. Like, not in a problematic way or like a what are they doing kind of way, but like a.
Mm-hmm.
The same way I got the feeling, like, when Rick tried to kill himself in the first or the second season, or, like, when they Cronenberged up the world in the first season. Like, I don't know what that feeling is called when you watch something, you're like, oh, I don't... Something feels bad. But, like, in a good way. Like, you felt something, like, a very visceral feeling. Visceral's so overdone, I hate that word. You felt like you had a very strong response to the media, and it just leaves you walking away like, oh, this... I don't know how to feel about that. But you'd rate it high, like, good writing. But it just, I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It makes you feel, it gets you it doesn't necessarily make you, you're enjoying watching it, but it's not like making you like feel warm and cozy. Like it's like kind of just making you, it's getting into real topics that make you uncomfortable, maybe.
Yeah, like it kind of unsettles you a little bit. I don't know if there's something else that we can like, that we both have in common on this. Yes, I don't know. It's kind of like the feeling I got when I saw like Omega Flowey in Undertale, or like, you're like, oh, this is disturbing. Like, I'm not scared, but like I feel disturbed, like on a personal level or something like that. I don't know if there's anything in Steven Universe that was like that. Was there anything that was just like fucked up in Steven Universe?
I mean, the cluster.
Well, the cluster was, I guess, spoilers, but like when Jasper turned corrupted, like, mm-hmm. I was like, that doesn't feel good. Like something about that feels bad, and I carried it with me. I don't know what that feeling is, but it's interesting. I recommend you watch it.
Go feel weird like I there. Felt. Go feel weird. There's like, there's a kind of topical, and I'm hurting inside the fact that I remember this because I hated this class, but there was a playwright, Bertolt Brecht, who his like whole thing was making people uncomfortable in his shows by like forcing them to like, rather than like making shows that immersed you in the show, he made shows that would alienate you from the show and force you to think of them as like a show and think of them about like, think about the technical aspects and like that kind of thing, rather than like letting yourself be sucked up in the narrative. So like people would do like weird shit or like talk about things in weird ways, and there's like a long ass German word for Verfremdungs effect for the feeling of being alienated from something by the emotions it creates in you.
So that sounds, and like,
I feel like that's kind of,
that sounds like dissociating, but like that's interesting.
But not like from reality, just like from what you're
right
invested in.
Okay. So I just searched what's the opposite of catharsis. That's the best way I can say what this is. Like, there's no cathartic feeling, you know. And people are like, it would be like corruption or pollution, I guess, but that can't be right. And you have people like trying to break it down, like it seems like the site where they're like doing etymology, so they're trying to like look up the like the Greek roots and that sort of thing. So you'd end up with a word that's like not an English word, but it has like the same roots and functions but opposite. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are getting into a whole quagmire that I'm not really about right now. So I'm just happy saying Rick and Morty gave me the opposite of catharsis. But at the same, but at the same time, gave me a catharsis because like I saw a new episode and I gotta wait 2 weeks. Yay. you know. So, on that note, would you guys like to do some music?
Some tunes?
Let's do some tunes, and we'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to Geekly Reveal. We hope you enjoyed that music. As always, it'll be in the show notes.
Ding, ding. Ding, ding.
You hear that? That's the drum alert. Woo-hoo. We got the drum alert. Speaking of music, did you see Taylor Swift's video for Look What You Made Me Do?
Yeah, I mentioned that I had in the previous segment, my friend.
I'm doing a bit. I'm just doing a bit.
Oh, sorry. He's doing a bit, listeners. Oh yeah, I checked it out. Why? What did you have something to say about it?
Golly gosh, what is that young lady up to? I just have no clue what she was doing with that song and video. I
wonder what it is we made her do.
You said you saw it. Yeah, so what do you think? What do you think, Steph?
I mean, like, the song is not that interesting. It's kind of bland. The video has a lot of very pretty, like, aesthetic, like, looks in it.
Yeah, because they're all looks that she's copying from somebody else.
But yeah, they're all very derivative. And even the song feels kind of derivative of, like, maybe, like, grown-up Britney or something, like...
Did you hear what Francesca Ramsey did?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, so, if y'all don't know, apparently Francesca Ramsey does a great Britney Spears impression.
Sounds kind of like Womanizer, like the song does.
Yeah, so she sang the lyrics to Look What You Made Me Do in, like, her Britney voice, and you're, like, a cappella, like, yeah, I could see this, like, yep. Totally see this as a Britney song. And that's not what you're going for as Taylor Swift, I feel like.
Yeah, that's not, like, the goal that you're trying to achieve, especially with a video like this that's supposed to be so, like, subtweety, for lack of a better word, pointed.
Well, that might have been, you know what, we'll never know.
Is that part of the subtweet?
We can't ask old Taylor.
She can't come to the phone anymore.
Yo. This had to go through people. This had to go through...
How many people? Like,
at least, like, her literally, squad. Like, quote,
even,
unquote,
squad. Like, everyone from, like... Even the Mary Sue did a post that was like, this video is peak old Taylor. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. Like,
they're like, this is exactly what old Taylor would do. Like, when did she die? Like,
yeah, like, play the victim. Like,
throw.
Use random people of color as props in the background.
Use conspicuous, like, shade. Like, it's not shade. I guess it's. You're just you're subtweeting. Because there's no cattiness of the shade here, where it's like, that's cute that you think you could sell all those records. That's shade. But just saying, oh, I don't like your tilting stage. Oh, I don't like how you talk about me. Like, those are subtweets. But that's like you're writing, I don't like Katy Perry. This is a subtweet because I didn't add her, but her name is still in it. Yeah, this video, this song, I don't know. Dog, this was bad. I didn't like this at all. Like, not even in a guilty way, not even like a, I'll tap my toe to it. Like, it was, like, it wasn't even, like, offensive
even, like,
to the
Shake
senses.
It Off, like, some of her last songs, like, Shake It Off and a few other of her older songs from her, like, album before this. Like, I could look at them and be like, oh, okay, like, this is some problematic shit, but at least I can
bounce to it bop. Or something. Like,
you know?
Like, Bad Blood, it's all right. Especially with Kendrick, I like it, you know?
Yeah.
I Knew You Were Trouble When You Walked In. That's not a song I'm supposed to like. I jammed to that song. It's fun. I didn't buy it. I just YouTube it every time, but it's fun. But this was, I'm like, I'm not going to play this song. Like, if someone puts it on a place, I'm going to skip it too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird kind of a misfire. And why does she have to feel the need to subtweet Katy Perry as if Katy Perry's gonna get defended by anybody?
Yeah.
Like, because Taylor Swift at least tries to pull the white feminism angle, or, like, try to be self-aware of, like, oh no, my goal was to say that I'm not as cool as black people. It's like, yeah, I get that, but you still did use black people as a prop, like, so that's not good. But Katy Perry just steals black people ideas and then doesn't even put them in the video, so it's like,
or especially, like, Asian aesthetics.
Yo, like, they're both, you could definitely accuse them both of cultural appropriation, but at least Taylor's cutting some checks towards black people, like, that don't fix it, but damn, like, someone got to eat off the back of this. Katy Perry just put on fake grills and putting money in white people's pockets, so I'm like, that's like insult and injury, like, yo man, what you dancing that Taylor Swift video for? I gotta eat, man. I got you. Why were you dancing that Katy Perry video? I wasn't. She didn't. We weren't in the casting call. I felt like Juicy J wasn't even in the parts of the video she was in that Dark Horse video. Like, what the hell was a Swish Swish? Did you see Swish Swish?
No.
Dog, that's worse. That's worse than the Taylor
what
video.
What even is it? Is it a Katy Perry song?
Yeah, that Nicki Minaj is in. That part's good.
I was gonna say, what is Nikki doing?
Getting a paycheck. Like, yep. Like, Katy Perry will ride off of rappers, but she won't put, like, black dancer in the videos that I can tell. I you know, like, if Taylor Swift just came out and said, yo, F Katy Perry, she's an asshole, who's gonna be like, nuh-uh, not Katy Perry? Like, no, it's not gonna happen. There's no Katy Perry stands on the internet. There's no one defending her.
Who are they? Show yourself.
It's...
Even Yuri Plisetsky of Yuri on Ice with his big cat aesthetic is clear would not be roaring for Taylor or for Katy Perry in this.
Deep cut, I like that. Yo, you know who stands for Katy Perry?
Probably. Who stands?
Tammy Lahren. She probably...
Oh, yeah.
Katy Perry is the demographic of Trump voters who like to have sex with black men. That's the Katy Perry demographic. Put that on wax.
The hottest take you'll hear tonight.
I'm not Katy Perry fans, because she had some jams, some problematic jams. Yeah. But if you stand for Katy Perry, I guarantee you, if I say anything else, I'm not going to be allowed to write for a games outlet one day, so I'm going to just not. But you could probably find some hot takes on it. Yeah, but I that's the aesthetic that I get, you know what I mean? She made that song, This Is How We Do, and that was like peak, I love black culture. I'm going to lock my car door if I see someone named Jerome walk by. Like, why did you pick Jerome? Like, oh, isn't that what their name is? What do you mean they? Like, that's the kind of conversation you'd have with a Katy Perry stan.
Mm-hmm.
Sizzling takes. Only on Geekly Review.
Hot and fresh out the kitchen.
R. Kelly's problematic as shit.
Yep.
Have they collaborated yet?
I don't know.
Can you imagine the R. Kelly Katy Perry collaboration?
Look, it cannot. I don't know if it would be possible to be more problematic than Lady Gaga and R. Kelly's collaboration, because the song was literally called Do What You Want With My Body.
But that's implying consent, though. Like, that's an explicit, like...
Yeah, but, like,
with a
really broad blanket consent. Well, like...
R. Kelly's a rapey dude. So that's what the problem was, because if you walk into your significant other's person for... walk bedroom. Into your SO's room and say, hey, baby, dude, she want my body. I'm assuming some of you. There's a level of like, not anything, because I'm not gonna like stab you, but like, and I'm still gonna ask every step, because I'm the kind of person who's like, can I do that? And they're like, stop asking. I'm like, I'm not gonna stop asking, but like, I feel like that has a connotation. You bring R. Kelly and you're like, Lady Gaga, I think this was a misfire.
Yeah.
But like, if Katy Perry and R. Kelly did a song, I don't even think you'd be able to have that leg to stand on. I think you would just be sitting there saying, yeah, this is a problematic song, give us money. And people would be like, we have torrents. And I'd be like, I already have Google Plus, so I'm only going to give you 0.001 cents once a week for 2 weeks. why Twitter blew up last week?
Oh, yeah, it did.
I'm not even going to, like, segue. Hard shift.
Yeah, that was a hard left into this adventure. This was wild, but watching this unfold, because I was, like, seeing it in live, like, literally unfold piece by piece on Twitter, because I follow a bunch of literary agents and, like, various other publishing people on Twitter that work in publishing. So, like, I was seeing it, like, coming from the source, like, play by play. So last week, this young woman of dubious writing talent, unseated The Hate U Give, a multiple, like, it literally, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas has gotten a starred review from every outlet that it is possible to receive a starred review from. Like, a starred review in publishing terms means like above and beyond excellence for the genre and age group kind of thing. Like, like, every book could get a starred review if it was good enough, but obviously not every book is. And, like, there's not, like, a limit to starred reviews that are given out, but it's not easy to get one. You have to write a good book, and it's very difficult to get all eight. Like, this is, I think it may be the first time anything has ever gotten all eight. And The Hate U Give is a debut novel from, a Black author who, and deals with the Black Lives Matter movement, and is a masterwork of young adult literature. Let me tell you what, it's so good. And last week, the preview list for the New York Times bestsellers went out, and The Hate U Give, which has been at number one, or sometimes briefly at number two and then back at number one, since February when it came out, was at number two, and number one was a book no one had ever heard of, called Handbook for Mortals.
The Handbook.
And everything about this was dubious, from the fact that nobody had ever actually heard of this book. The author, had no previous writing experience, which isn't always an unlikely thing, but the publisher was Geek Nation, a website that had created a publishing arm 2 months before this book hit the Times list. Like, the author was also slated on IMDb to play the lead in the movie of this book. And after YA Twitter did a little bit of digging, they discovered that someone behind this book had been calling around to bookstores to first ask if they were bookstores who reported sales to the New York Times list, and then would place an order slightly, just like right below the cutoff for what would be considered like a bulk or corporate order, because the Times does keep an eye out for that. Like, they will mark it on the list. Like, that's how a lot of conservative authors end up on the bestseller list, is because they will, like, buy the first 5,000 copies of their book and donate them to, like, libraries, or, like, send them out as, like, perks for subscribing to something. And so, like, they ostensibly hit the list because you have to sell around 5,000 books to hit the list, but the Times calls it out and says, like, this, they didn't do this because 5,000 separate people went out and bought this book. This book, according to Booklist, BookScan, which is it's like the Nielsen ratings for books, like, it categorizes how many books are sold. According to BookScan, Handbook for Mortals sold 19,000 copies, thereabouts, in the first week, which is beyond astonishing. That's more than an average YA book, like, something kind of, like, mid-listy that isn't, like, it's considered a financial success, but it's not, like, a big, like, gangbuster bestseller. It's not going to get a movie deal or something. Like,
sure,
in its lifetime, a book that sells 19,000 copies was a good bet for a publisher to take on.
Okay, I got you.
So in a week, this was selling 19,000 copies, but it was, at the same time, showing zero in every warehouse. Like, there were no actual books were in existence. They were all just these outstanding prepaid orders for this book. And, like, people, the person ordering them would call and say, like, I'd like to order this many copies, like, just under the bulk number. And I don't care when they come in. Like, they're for an event in the future. So it's really, like, they were just trying to game the list.
Gotcha.
With the hopes of being able to put number one New York Times bestseller on something would help boost their movie deal later on. Because they already have a movie deal. They already have the author of this book scheduled to play the lead in this book. Which is not even technically YA, because the main character is in her 20s. Like,
so, what should it be? Just fiction?
It would be like new adult, maybe. Or like, just, yeah, like fantasy. Like contemporary fantasy. Like a True Blood-esque kind of thing. Like about like a young woman in a love triangle.
Gotcha.
With fantasy aspects.
So YA, but older.
Yeah. So, like, new adult is, like, the the code for, like, Noodle ends up being code for, like, a lot of erotica kind of stuff, like Fifty Shades of Grey stuff that's, like, about someone who's in college or...
Okay.
But, like, it ostensibly just means someone who's not a teenager anymore but isn't, like, a proper grown-up yet.
So, millennial fiction.
Yeah, millennial fiction.
Is that Han Solo's
ship? Was that? Yeah, millennial fiction. That's the...
Oh, I'm proud of that. I'm sorry.
I smell a title.
The millennial fiction.
Millennial fiction? Isn't that a solo ship? But anyway, yeah. So, so within 12 hours, all of the YA Twitter put together all these details, went to the Times, said, "Here you go." The Times took a look at this all, and then reissued their list without Handbook for Mortals on it anymore, with the Hate U Give back at the top. And then the author of the book, seems like Lainey Schramm or something. I don't care enough about her to actually have her name right.
That's fair.
but she was like, "Oh, we're being punished for doing things like outside of the accepted way, like for breaking the mold, like we're being like people would have known we were around if they ever went to conventions or saw us there." And like people were like, "Yo, why a Twitter's hella nerdy, like authors go to cons." Like there was an author went to a Wizard World con this last weekend, and where this lady was supposed to be tabling, and her quote-unquote booth was a corner. Like, she has a couple, like, famous friends who are not even famous, really, like, kind of has-been actors and performers, like J.C. Chavez of NSYNC.
Blowing and, me like, up with her laugh.
And, like, some actor who was in some 80s movies, and it ended up being, like, it was his booth, this actor's booth, and there was, like, a little picture of her book cover art taped up in the corner, but she wasn't there. There were no books there to sell or sign, and, like, you're not playing anyone. Like, we...
She's playing the game hardcore.
But, like, what's frustrating to everyone, I think, involved is that there's so much entitlement in this. Because it's literally based on the premise that anyone who has $500,000 to place a bunch of bogus orders at bookstores can hit the New York Times list.
Yes.
Regardless. It's like, it's kind of like a This Is Trump's America kind of thing.
Yes.
But it's the same, like, it's, but it's literally like, if you have enough money, you can do what you want, and then you can whine when people call you out for doing something that you think is just like a renegade, like maverick thing to do.
Yeah, that's
but the rest of the world thinks is dishonest.
It's dishonest. Jay-Z actually did that with one of his albums, but like he gave the albums to people, so it was like it was like a shrewd business deal, but people... So, like, his first, what was it, Magna Carta Holy Grail, I think, went platinum, like, the day it was released. It's like, that's because everybody with a Samsung phone got the album for free. Like, it was in their library. Like, it wasn't the way that the U2 one was, I don't think. Like, it didn't get stuck there, but you were able to, like, access it and download it. Like, it was considered purchased by you for $0. Or, I'm misremembering
like,
that,
even but everybody then, accessed like...
it. But you still got a free copy of it, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, even then, like, there was a deliverable, something came, you got something.
Yeah.
Like it was something went out into the world, not 19,000 orders of a book that doesn't appear to exist.
Yeah. And also like a lot of albums go platinum, and I think it went double platinum, or like people still bought it anyway.
Yeah.
And there's not like a list that says, oh, like there's not, I mean, there's the Billboard, but no one knows how that works with, like, online plays and downloads and radio play. So no one really looks at that as, like, a bastion of what's good, the way that I think people might look at the bestsellers list.
Yeah. And, like, the other thing is, like, the book is terrible. The book is, like, based on, like, the the excerpts we've seen online, people are actually speculating that this is the same person who wrote My Immortal, the legendary Harry Potter fiction, fan fiction.
Legendary, huh?
Legendary doesn't have to mean good.
I didn't say, I was just asking. So I was listening to, I was listening to Austin Walker on his podcast today, actually, and also other people, and they all point out the same thing. He was talking about Taylor Swift, and I'm going to talk about this book. You can get away with a lot of stuff if you're releasing fire. Like, imagine if this book was awesome, and just people happened to miss it, and then this person gamed the system for, like, a good-ass book. You would get flamed online, but people would be like, it is a good book, though. And I think people would be like, I see why you tried to game the system. I don't know why someone didn't give you the chance. Because then it'd be an underdog story, like, then you would be a renegade.
Like, you feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, think about, like, Chance the Rapper, right? Okay. Like, didn't he have, like, he was on, like, SoundCloud for a long time before he got, like, a proper record deal? And so this last year he was able to, like, win a Grammy as a newcomer, even though he's been around for a while.
So yeah, he was on SoundCloud. So the rules change for what constitutes as an album. Because his album is only streamable. I don't think you can buy it. Like, I couldn't buy it. But you have to, like, be signed up for some service that lets you stream it, which, whatever, fine. But that counts as an album. And it used to not count. But yeah, that happens to rappers a lot. Like, I think, like, Drake, that's why Drake was able to, like, win a new artist award, like, like, several years into his career. Because he was releasing, like, mixtapes and all this kind of stuff that wasn't recognized by, like, the Grammys or the VMAs. See, he was winning, like, he won, like, best new, thing, and I'm like, I already have, like, two of his albums. And they're like, well, those were mixtapes, those weren't albums. I'm like, whatever. So a lot of stuff's archaic anyway. But a lot of people, yes, and, like, do get trapped on SoundCloud. Because, I mean, rap is, to make good music is very difficult, but the barrier for entry is incredibly low. Like, you can get a bootleg copy of Fruity Loops or something, and, like, a copy of Audacity for free, which is legal, and record yourself rapping. It's not gonna sound fantastic, but you can do it. Versus, like, learning any instrument takes some time, and recording those is even more difficult, so.
Yeah, and, like, even also, like, love it or hate it, like, and hate it is where I fall, but, like, 50 Shades of Grey is also something that, like, something that this author is, like, quoting is, like, well, 50 Shades of Grey did it, and it sold 100 million copies, and blah, whatever, and, like.
But people liked that. Like, I'm not going to say it was great literature, but people found value in 50 Shades of Grey.
And, like, and that was something that did. It started out self-published. Like, because I was talking to people at the bookstore that I used to work at about it, and they said, like, when people first started coming in to order it, it was a print-on-demand title, which meant you ordered it from Amazon, from, like, their self-publishing CreateSpace service, and then Amazon would print a copy because, like, they didn't keep any on hand. They would print them to order. Hence the title, the name, print-on-demand. Like,
yeah, so
it's, and then, and, like, and then suddenly we were, like, it went from, like, it got its proper publishing deal, and it was out in the world, like, being shipped boxes and boxes every week of the real thing, like.
Yeah, so like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, expouse upon, like, the benefits of 50 Shades of Grey. I do think it's a very complex discussion. I mean, which is not the same, but I'm going to use it for the sake of it. The Transformers, they couldn't keep making Transformers movies if people weren't going to go see them. 50 Shades of Grey, she could have pulled the crap that this person did, but would have sold that many and got two movies out of it if people didn't find enjoyment out of it. And just seeing the reaction that people had from it, it's a starved audience, you know? Showing, like, which, I mean, a lot of people misread the abuse as something positive, which isn't good, but people found something that made them feel catered to and validated.
Mm.
And that's worth a lot. Like, E.L. James, right? I've read some of the passages from the book, and I don't think she's, at the time, was the most talented writer. I hope she got better if she cares about the craft, but she was speaking to something, and as much as it's fun to dunk on 50 Shades of Grey, I mean, the words chocolate starfish are in there, I'm pretty sure. So, like, the dunking can commence. But she did talk to a demographic that wanted to be talked to. And for that, she deserves that. This was the handbook? It was, I forget what it's called.
The handbook for mortals.
If you aren't speaking to people, I'm sorry. You don't get to pull, like, these renegade moves. Because, like, you didn't shake the... Like, you just got dragged on Twitter for, like, a whole weekend. So I'm sorry. You aren't the same as 50 Shades of Grey. Because, for better or worse, that added value to our society. All you did was piss people off. Hot take number two. Get at me. Let's keep going.
We're running a little over time, but YOLO.
Yo, breaking news. Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff debut new song, Get Lit.
Excuse me?
At the UK Livewire Festival. It was an unreleased song, but whatever, it's new now.
It's new to us.
It's new to everybody but those two, and I guess the producers, but... Hot diggity damn. Also, Whole Foods did that thing with Amazon, so check it out.
Yeah, just...
But let's move on to good news. I guess this was good news. Let's move on to more good news. Where are we at?
So
it's green.
Screen's crying. I don't know.
Ajax, right?
But, yeah. This dude, this actor.
Yes.
Was set to play a character in the Hellboy reboot, who is historically been portrayed as Asian in the comic books. And there was some outcry about this as. There's want to be, and he read the outcry and said, I didn't know that this was a thing, but now that I do, I see that it's a problem, and I'm gonna step out of this role.
Simple.
That's all you have to say. Like,
it's
all you have to do. Welcome to
he knows he'll get more work. He was Francis. He'll be fine. The bar has been lowered ridiculously, like, but I mean,
like someone at Scarlett Johansson, like, see how easy it was, homie.
He just like, yeah, I'm not doing this. He's like, yo, I'm not trying to tank my career. Y'all can have Hellboy. It's not going to be successful. like Scarlett Johansson put her neck out for Ghost in the Shell remake.
Yeah.
Like, that's as bad as putting your neck out for the Death Note remake.
Which we're not gonna get too deep into because neither of us watched that shit. But holy shit, is it apparently just a garbage dump fire of a movie.
Yo, you wanna know what the only benefit to all these whitewashed movies is? Like, they're not dragging people of color down with these. Because apparently, like, a person of color is not gonna be able to fix these movies. They just would be less racist.
Yeah.
Because imagine if a Japanese man would have played Goku in Dragon Ball Evolution. That wouldn't have fixed the problems with that movie. All it would have did was, like, screw a Japanese man in time to a bad movie. So, I guess there's a silver lining to this shitstorm.
Look, he says, representation of ethnic diversity is important, especially to me as I have a mixed heritage family. It's our responsibility to make moral decisions in difficult times and to give voice to inclusivity. It's my hope that one day these discussions will become less necessary and that we can help make equal representation in the arts a reality. I'm sad to leave Hellboy, but if this decision brings us closer to that day, it's worth it. Like, that's less than 100 words.
That's like, 2-3 maybe tweets. And
yeah,
like, it's so simple. I'm sorry. I don't even know what else to say about it, because there it is, bam.
That's all. Just bam. There it is.
Nice.
It's done.
And lastly, I guess this is tech news. Tech is pop culture, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so Uber gives $1.2 million to Girls Who Code, which is a foundation that I think we've chatted about before. But it's pretty much what it says. They get young girls to, like, learn to code and all that kind of stuff. Let's see. The money will help Girls Who Code teach 60,000 more girls technical skills. In the past 5 years, Girls Who Code has reached 40,000 girls through its after-school clubs and summer programs.
Now, here's a question. Was this before or after They tried to give money to Black Girls Code, and Black Girls Code was like, nah, and we'll raise it ourselves.
No, I don't know. This is probably a publicity stunt, but I mean,
if they have the money to sitting around, like, good for them.
Like,
for sure.
Yeah, it's, because here's what it comes down to, right? Uber wants to have blog posts. I'm reading off techcrunch.com. That's where this came from. This is my speculation, though, that, you know, they have $1.2 million that they're able to give up, and they're like, they just want a blog post that says that they did this. That makes them look more inclusive and positive. And yes, it's cynical. It's hopefully will give them more business. But if that's $1.2 million to help close the gender gap in the future, no one had to get hurt for this to happen. So I'm for it.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
I'm sure Black Girls Code had a legitimate reason for this. So, I mean, I'm behind that because no need yes. taking dirty money. But at the same time, I'm not going to shame you for taking dirty money because my ass would take dirty money.
Yeah, so like it says they offered $125,000 to Black Girls Code, but the organization turned it down. They said like they do use the founder said like my organization does use Uber, and like we're open to the idea that they can transform themselves, but their history as a company and this kind of and the kind of political coding to this donation was troubling to her.
Okay.
So, instead, they ran their own donation drive and ended up raising $145,000.
Okay.
In donations.
Wait, how much did they offer at first?
$125
million or thousand?
Thousand.
Okay, I think it's harder to turn down $1.2 million.
Yeah, that's also true.
That's a harder like
that's again 10 times the amount.
You can still do it, and I'm not going to say you should or shouldn't because I'm not in that business of helping people yet. But I will tell you that if someone said, hey, Dom, what's it going to cost you to come on Fox News and say Trump isn't the worst person who ever lived? How about $100 and they can go kiss my ass? Like, I'll give you $1.2 million. Not to say he's a good man, but say he's not a bad man. I'm like, that's a harder decision.
Yeah, you look at those school loans and...
look, and anyone who knows me well enough that they're going to be able to come to my house and talk shit on me, I'm going to be like, what about your school loans? Like, I don't gotta say the dude's good. I don't gotta co-sign. I just gotta sit there. I'm gonna get called some names by Black Twitter. And I'm gonna show them that nice flat screen that I threw out of a window. And I'll be like, look, have you thrown a flat screen out of a window? I didn't say the man was good. I just said he wasn't the worst person who ever lived. Which, you know, a case could be made. Donald Trump, if you're listening for some reason, that's odd, but... If you want to give me $1.2 million, I'll tweet, you're not the worst person who ever lived. I promise I'll do it. $1.2 million, let's chat.
I'll jump right in on that offer.
Man, I'm going to help so many minorities with that money. There goes my chances, but...
I was going to say, don't say that out loud, they'll hear you.
I'll do it for the culture. I think that's everything for this section, right?
I think so.
Okay, let's jump into that last music break and we'll be back with the cool shit we got. It's a good one. It's a good one and we'll be back.
Alright, I hope you all enjoyed that music. We are back for the last part of our episode, which is, as always, shit we got this week section. Dom, you get anything cool this week?
Actually, I did.
Tell us a story.
Okay, so, let's see. So I bought, it's fall now, I bought some beers, I'll start with that. Pumpkin stuff is here, drank some of that. I was drinking something called, like, Atomic Pumpkin Ale. I just thought that was like, oh, Atomic Dog, like George Clinton. So I'm drinking this, and I'm like, oh, man, I must be getting sick again. Like, I'm getting, like, a burning ishing in my throat. Like, not a burning, but, like, sort of a...
Yeah, something you were allergic to,
I
did?
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, man, I shouldn't be drinking this. I was like, but it won't go away. So I looked at the ingredients. There's chilies in it. That's the atomic part. I'm like, oh, okay.
That'll do it.
It's, like, cinnamon, spices, and chilies. I'm like, okay. Still fun. Not alarmed. I'm like, man, this is giving me heartburn or something. It's the chili, so... And then, like, your pumpkin and your other stuff. So I'm looking forward to drinking that over, like, the next 12 days or so.
Nice.
And I got the Sonic Mania Collector's Edition box for Steam. I already bought Switch version, so I already beat Sonic Mania. But I kind of wanted the stuff that comes in the box. Mm-hmm. And it kind of came damaged, but Amazon's helping me resolve all that, so it's all good.
Nice.
But inside it comes a little card that just has the game download code, because that's how we... There's no physical copies of Sonic Mania unless you make one, which that'd be...
Of course.
But whatever. So it comes with a code with that. Then it comes with a little metallic card that's just like Sonic Mania. I'm like, oh, this is just to have, I guess. It's cool. a little fake Genesis cartridge that has Sonic Mania on it, and that when you pull it out, there's like a metal ring in there, like a Sonic ring. Mm-hmm. Has some weight to it. Yeah, like not for your finger. Literally, it's a ring you would hold. Again, don't know what you do with this, but it's good. And a statue of Sonic standing on a Sega Genesis that apparently does the Sega jingle, and it takes like batteries, and you can have just a Sega or something. I don't remember what, but it's a big statue. Nice. This is a big ass box, actually. I'll take a picture and put it on the Instagram. But yeah, this is a pretty big ass box. It's kind of funny to see it. It's a beautiful box. It looks like an old Sega Genesis game system box, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. But it's just one game, and the art's fun.
Nice. I'm interested to see. You should take a picture of it and put it on our Instagram.
I just said that. You responded to me saying it. It's a good idea. You know what? I think I'll take a picture and put it on our Instagram.
What do you think about putting a picture on our Instagram?
Of what? Sonic Mania Collector's Edition.
Yeah, your Sonic Mania Collector's Edition. Obviously.
I think I might do that. So I just have to do that between now and when we post this episode. So... it'll be done before... If you are listening to this, go on our Instagram, @characterreveal, and you'll see the picture. I'll hold it next to my head for size comparison.
Check it out.
That's pretty much all I got. What about you? What'd you get?
Oh, well, I got a desk, which I'm sitting at right now. It's nice for recording, because I'm not balancing everything on my bed, but I'm not sure if the fact that it's up against my window is... better or worse, because I am now closer and pointed towards the sounds outside. Although the mic is pointed away from the sounds outside. I'm pretty excited about it. My cat's not so excited about it, because she, even though it would be very easy for her to jump up onto the desk and to the window from there, she does not like the desk. And so instead is like climbing up off like my end table that's covered in knickknacks. And like over stuff to get to the same windowsill that she could just jump up and get to if she weren't a whiny child.
Cats.
Let's see. As I mentioned earlier, I also got cosplay stuff for my Red Sonja costume. It has not arrived yet because I only ordered it yesterday as of recording, but the money has been put down.
Bam.
Bam. And yeah, pretty excited about that. And I got a couple frames because we're finally trying to hang up the rest of our stuff in our apartment. But apparently they don't sell Broadway poster size frames online or in Michael's stores, just online. So I'm trying to figure out if I want to actually drop some money on these. It's 14 by 22, which is a weird ass dimensions. And I asked the lady at the frame shop today when I was buying one for my poster that I got at FlameCon, and she was like, yeah, people always come in and ask for that, and I don't know what it is. And when I told her it was for a Broadway poster, she was like, oh, that's no, like, that makes sense, but maybe like try one of the stores in Manhattan or something.
Yeah.
But
what size are, like, the prints you get from a con? What size are those typically?
Usually like 11 by 17.
Gotcha. Yeah. Just asking for a reference. Where do you normally get those from? Like Michael's or something?
I usually do get them from Michael's, but because usually there's like just stupid sales. Like even now, like I'm looking at it online and like it's buy one, get one free for these $20 frames. But I need three of them. So I don't want to, like, I'm trying to wait until I have my coupon, a good coupon for one off, for off to get, like, a markdown on the one that I have to buy at full price.
But you know you're going to use it eventually, so you might as well just buy the two, buy one, get one free for two of them. Like, you know you'll use it.
I don't know. I just, like, I spent so much money this last week. Just on, like, I probably spent $30 just on, like, command hooks. Like, just to hang this shit up, so I'm just...
Oh, I didn't even consider that part. Yeah. Front-loading so, like, wall frame from Joann's, $5.39. Oh, snap, 40% off all frames. That's exactly what I need. I could do so much. I don't know what it means to front-load a frame. I'm learning stuff now, but...
There are ones that I have that, like, the glass pops out of, like, is, like, you pop the glass out of the front and put the picture in and then pop it back in.
Do they work decent?
Oh, yeah. Like, most of mine are that kind. Yo, I'm about to get that, they're, like, they're the cheapest ones, but, like.
I mean, as long as they're not gonna, like, fall apart. I mean,
even if they do. Yeah, they don't fall apart or anything.
$5.39. I gotta get them sent in, because they don't got them at the store near me. That's right. That's all right. There's many stores near me in some dying mall.
There are no Joann's near me. Real annoyed.
Before we go into a tangent like that, do you get anything else?
No, that's about it.
Okay, well, let's
wrap that up.
How about we give them the social media biz?
Yeah, let's do that. You want me to do it?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right. I don't know about fun, but I'll do it for the culture.
For the culture.
So. For the band?
For the band.
For the band. So if you want to... Oh, my lord. If you want to find us on the internet, you can find this basic podcast right there at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find us on Twitter at characterrev, character R-E-V, two R's in the middle, no spaces, no punctuation. You can find us on Facebook at Character Reveal. You can find us on Instagram, as mentioned previously, at Character Reveal. You can find us on Patreon at Character Reveal and support us. That it makes us, we're so touched by the people who do that.
Yes.
Please do it.
Definitely. We love you. We love you. Everything, a little bit helps.
Even a dollar, it helps. So we much. Love you. We love your dollar.
We love it.
All of your Washingtons.
And Hamilton's all day, baby.
Yeah. So, even Lincoln. Lincoln right in the middle is fine. But yeah, so the, if you're interested in pursuing either of us separately or, individually, you can find us on, you can find Dom pretty much everywhere on the internet at Brother Dom.
Oh yeah, Brother Dom, it's me.
He's got the branding. I do not. I am on Twitter at Captain Steph. I am on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. I am on Instagram at Hella Steph. And that's about it.
I think that's everything. We did.
Is that all the things?
We did another episode.
We did it.
So fun. Hooray! We should get a little soundboard. I don't know. I love cheesy stuff. I was going to say I love cheese, but then I was like, wait, like, no, I don't. But I do.
You don't love cheese. I love cheese.
I love, like, metaphorical cheese. You know, like Kraft Singles, it's metaphorical cheese.
Shit ain't real cheese.
Oh, yo, thanks for hanging out with us for another episode, everyone. It's been a good time. And until next time, adios. See you later.
Bye. Peace.